Mario Brothers, and plumbing's the game. Found the secret water zone while working on the drain. Lend the princess a hand in the mushroom land. Turn the action with the plumbers, you'll be hooked on the brothers. Now, evil Koopa and his troopers are up to misbehaving. They kidnap the princess, mushroom land needs saving. Abusing and confusing, everybody discovers they can't help.
Welcome back to NExpressSoundOnSite.org's Nintendo-themed podcast. We are going to take it back to 1985 now. We have celebrated many an anniversary here on Sound On Sight. We've celebrated Mega Man. We've celebrated Pac-Man. But guess what, you guys? It is also Mario's anniversary, in case you missed that at Nintendo's E3 digital event.
Can I just point out a simple fact? Instead of celebrating Sonic the Hedgehog's 24-year anniversary, which happened yesterday, we've decided to start our Super Mario celebration early. So within the next few weeks, we are going to focus on several Super Mario games. In fact, we're going to focus on every single core game in the series. And we're going to start off with, of course, the 8-bit NES games today. So that said, I'm sorry, Sonic the Hedgehog, but Super Mario is way cooler.
Sonic, you used to be cool. What happened, bro?
They tried to force him in bad games. That's what happens.
Although he's still awesome in Smash Bros., so he can stay there.
Yeah.
But why don't we go ahead and start with the game that started it all, Super Mario Bros. NES 1985. I wasn't even alive yet, guys.
Well, wait, that's not the game that started it.
It's not the game that started it, but I don't know. I kind of think that it is the game that really changed Mario. I mean, this is the first home console Mario game for most of the world. Yeah. Like, we didn't ever get a Famicom. We didn't get a lot of cool stuff that we still, collectors are still really into. Yeah, we didn't get Game & Watch.
Yeah.
But we got the NES, and we got Super Mario Bros. Mind you, before that, there were arcade games. There was also Donkey Kong. We could argue that Mario started much before he had his own game.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can talk about that for a bit, yeah. But so this game was released in 1985 along with the system. The console at the time cost $200 American, $200 US, which nowadays is about $415, so still a good price. Mm-hmm. And if you got the bundle, you would get the Super Mario game and Duck Hunt with the Zapper, and or they also had a bundle in which you also get Rob the Robot, and you would get Stack Up the game. So that's a pretty awesome bundle. You're getting three games, a robot, a Zapper, a console, two controllers. Nowadays, you go out and buy a PlayStation 4, you still have to buy controllers.
Yeah. If you want the Xbox Elite controller, it costs the same price as that console you just listed, give or take $50.
Yeah. And what's amazing is it sold 40 million units. So Super Mario became the number one selling game of all time because it was bundled with the console. But even outside of the bundle, it still sold an additional 10 million units worldwide. That's amazing.
That's huge. Even by today's standards, that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, who did not play Super Mario anywhere at that stage?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is it's been 30 years now, and I honestly think that Super Mario is more recognizable than Mickey Mouse these days. Like, I know kids who know who Mario and Luigi are, but they have no idea who Mickey Mouse is because Mickey Mouse hasn't released a cartoon and or movie in God knows how long. You know what I mean? And so you're talking about a character who has appeared in over 200 video games.
Yeah.
That's crazy. He led the charge into 3D gaming. Six of the top 10 best-selling video games of all time are Mario games. 6 out of 10. That's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, apart from the live-action movie, he's pretty reliable. I mean, he had his own cartoon series. He had his own cereal.
I used to remember growing up as a kid watching the Super Mario cartoon series. I was a big fan of that one, too.
Really, I've never seen it.
You never seen it? Mm-hmm. That in Legend of Zelda, because there was a.
Oh yeah, I've seen the Zelda one. That was bad.
I was still a kid. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. Do you guys know the whole backstory to Super Mario?
You mean like the original story, or?
Well, just how basically Mario became Super Mario, went from being a supporting character in a Donkey Kong game to having his own platformer.
No, I've heard many a different story as to how Mario got to be Mario, but I think Nintendo, from what I've heard, Nintendo just really needed a mascot and really needed a character to focus on, and they had this little sprite of a little man, and they thought that he would be a fitting, fun character, so they tried to pick someone that wouldn't have an offensive accent. Everyone can do a silly Italian accent, that'd be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, they developed this silly plumber with overalls and a mustache and tried to make him this big cliche character that everyone would immediately get and associate with, but it wouldn't be super offensive. That's what I've heard. I don't know how true it is, but it worked.
Well, yeah, it's because basically Nintendo had arcade machines here in North America, but they weren't making money off of their arcade machines, right? So they had this like one machine called Raider Scope, and it was a complete bust. And so they didn't know what to do. So they took this game called Raider Scope, and they basically used it to like recycle the programming to make a new game, which of course became Donkey Kong. And that's when they hired Miyamoto, right? Mm. So at the time, Miyamoto was like, I don't know, I think he was like in his teens, right? His like late teens. He was really young.
And he was he was designing toys at that time, no? Something like that.
Yeah, he was the protege of the guy who basically was running Nintendo at the time, like before he became their head honcho. So anyways, so you're right, Tim. Like, he decided on this character because he already had a sprite. He was initially called Jumpman, and he was a carpenter. And so basically the reason why he looks the way he does is because he wanted to give him overhauls because it was easier to design. He gave him a mustache because it stood out more than just, say, a line across his face for his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He put a hat on him because he didn't want to have to design the hair, because designing hair was like his weakness and it just drove him up a wall. And so what happened was in the original Donkey Kong game, he was a carpenter and he wasn't even the main character, although he wanted him to be the main character, but of course Donkey Kong became the main character.
Mm-hmm.
And then later when he took the character and started his own series with the character, everyone sort of looked at him as like, well, how could you call him a carpenter? He looks like a plumber. And so that's why they changed the storyline later on where Mario and Luigi are plumbers. But the weird thing is, I have a theory, is that I don't think that the Mario in the Donkey Kong games is the same Mario in the Super Mario games. It could be his dad, and or it could be a Mario in a different universe, because it just doesn't make any sense. Because Donkey Kong aged throughout the years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think of Cranky, for example, that's Donkey Kong. Like, there's been several Donkey Kongs over the years, but, you know, it's not like Mario's had kids and his kids have had kids. So I kind of feel like the Mario in Donkey Kong is Mario's dad. And that's why Pauline, the girl who he saves, is not Peach, because they completely changed the damsel in distress. And I kind of feel like maybe that's his mom. That's how I look
at it. In your mind, is Princess Toadstool someone other than Peach, or did she just get a rename?
The theory is, and actually Matt Pat did a video of this, is that, and a lot of people have theorized about this for a while now, is that Luigi is Peach's boyfriend, and Rosalina is their daughter. That's what a lot of people believe. Because who's Mario's real girlfriend? Is it Daisy?
For the longest time, I thought it was Peach.
No, because you never actually, if you look at the instruction manuals and or the animated cutscenes in the games, there's never any evidence to make us believe that they are a couple. Even when I finished Super Mario 3 again the other day, when he saves Peach, it's not like you see a heart pop up or she gives him a kiss and or anything. She just says thank you and she walks away.
Because she's a princess and she's reserved, though. I mean, she does call out his name longingly later.
Yeah.
I mean, she might be just beckoning for help, but I thought in Paper Mario, too, they were getting kind of flirty.
Okay, yes, but in that game, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't Luigi keep on talking about how he wants to be like Mario, and he has a thing for Peach in that game? It's been
I always thought he dated Daisy. I thought Luigi and Daisy were like.
Well, that would make sense. That would make sense.
I think based on their personality, Luigi's a nice guy, and he's like timid and shy and modest and not a ladies' man. And I think Super Mario is just arrogant and a ladies' man and a player. And he's kind of a prick. He really is.
No, Mario's a good guy.
I don't know about that.
He's selfless. He goes through all sorts of nonsense.
He goes through a lot of trouble to save a princess.
And I mean, if you've got the skills to back it up, you're allowed a little bit of arrogance.
I don't know.
A little bit. Han Solo.
I've always preferred Luigi.
That's right. I forgot you're a Super Luigi fan. To the point where you said he's hotter than Mario in one episode.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, even by cartoon standards, I'm going to misstand by it. Yes. So the point is, it's weird because Mario's such a strange character. Like, in the Donkey Kong games, he kind of feels like the bad guy because I've always felt that Donkey Kong is very similar to King Kong. And I know the game is designed, or it was inspired from Popeye, and they couldn't get the license for the Popeye, so they just changed the characters to make them look like Popeye characters, right? But I kind of always felt that it's no different than King Kong. When King Kong falls in love with the lady and he takes her away, he's not actually trying to hurt her. And then everyone at the end of the movie kills the big, huge ape. And in this video game, it's like you get Mario who's chasing after Pauline, who is the damsel in distress. But I kind of feel like Donkey Kong was never actually trying to hurt her. And Mario just is kind of
like a prick.
Yeah, overreacting. Yeah. And Donkey Kong himself went on to be a protagonist. Like, he went on to be a good guy later on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, explain that.
He got his life together. He put a tie on.
Yeah.
And started taking life seriously. He knew it wasn't all just barrel rolling and climbing stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyways,
fan fiction aside now.
Well, we've just got to tell our listeners, you guys have got to take your games more seriously. Yeah. You need to figure out what's going on.
No, but
what's Link up to? Donkey Kong up to?
I think the reason why we were talking about this is I think it's a prime reason to what makes the game so special and or the series is because Miyamoto at the time, he did not know how to design video games. He was an artist, but he wasn't a video game designer, and he was a storyteller. And so that's what's cool about it. You have this guy who's really young, who's asked to develop some sort of video game, and he doesn't really know how to do it. But so because he doesn't know how to do it, he's not aware of like the restrictions and the problems that come with coding and designing these characters. So he just went crazy and he let his imagination go wild. And that's why we have this crazy, amazing, weird game. And it was unlike anything before it. And that's what I think makes the Super Mario series so incredibly special.
And how artistic it really did end up being. I mean, especially in that pixel form, how many people emulate that? How many people have posters of just that? There's something so aesthetically pleasing when you look at this game and all of its colors, which have remained the same for so long.
You know, when I'm reviewing movies on my movie podcast, and we review independent film, and we talk about movies that don't have a big budget but they end up being incredible films, it's because sometimes when you're restricted, when you can't just do whatever it is you want to do, it forces you to find new ways to tell the story and new ways to do special effects and new ways to film an action scene and so on and so forth, right? It forces you and puts you in this position where you have to be creative and brainstorm these ideas. And that is why a lot of times these movies are so incredible, whereas if they had all the resources and money in the world, they would just take the easy route and it would be the less creative route, right? And I think the same applies here with the video game. Like, again, the reason why Mario looks the way he does is because he designed them the best way he could, because he couldn't design hair, for example. He'd put on red overalls because it stood out more, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's why the sprite looks so unique. And you did not need to know his name, but you knew who he was if you saw the Mario character in a cartoon and or in a commercial or what have you.
So 1985 comes out with the NES, and you've got this game. I don't need to talk about it too much, but you all know the music immediately. You know how the game starts, and you know the story. Mario's out to save Princess Toadstool, who has been kidnapped by the evil Koopa King Bowser.
Yeah.
That much has remained the same the entire series. I mean, there are some variations, but at its core, Mario has remained very much this theme.
Yeah.
And it really shaped the rest of Mario, which is why I think it is the game that really started it all. I think this is where Mario really took off and became what we know as Mario.
And also what became platforming. That
yeah,
it's Mario really that true. Yeah, it's Mario that sparked that genre that we all still play today. I mean, it's all thanks to Mario for platforming series.
Going back and playing this game again, and I play this game every so often, like not every year, but every say like 4 years, I will go back and play the first game. I always forget how many enemies are in the very first game, because sometimes I think, oh, these enemies were introduced in like the third game or the second game. Like, no, this has Buzzy Beetles, it has Goombas, it has the Koopa Troopa, it has the Power Troopers, it has the Piranha Plants, it has the Hammer Bros.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many characters in this game. It's not even just about playing with Mario and or Luigi. It's also about the villains. Bullet Bill, for example.
Yeah.
Cheep Cheep Fish. And, of course, Bowser.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Bowser's in this game, Bowser's one of the greatest villains ever created for any video game, period. Which is weird, because he's like a giant angry turtle.
Yeah.
But he works.
Yeah.
He's a dragon turtle, let's be honest.
Yeah.
He breathes fire.
True. He's a hybrid of a dragon and a turtle. He was supposed to be like an ox. His character is based on a turtle demon from Japanese folklore. So that's where they got the idea from. Mm. And the idea that he shoots out fireballs. And the thing about the first game is I still find to this day, unless you're using the warp zones, I still find that the first game is the hardest to finish for me personally.
It is really challenging. Like the first time you come up against Bowser, I remember being a kid and being on the second level and fighting Bowser and being like, I don't even know what to do at this point.
I know, right? I remember when I first played this game, I was like, where's my weapon? What do I do?
Why does he kill me when I jump on his head?
It was the only reason why I figured out that you can actually kill the enemies by stomping on them was because I just happened to fall on the dude. And sure enough, I was like, oh, so I don't die, he dies, you know? And then you get Fury Mario, and you get Super Mario, and you get typical normal Mario throughout the game. I used to love the Fire Flower. That was, like, my favorite, of course, ability in this game, because you don't get much in this game.
No.
I was never crazy about Starman, even to this day. Like, I don't like the idea of being invincible.
You didn't like the idea of, like, just speedrunning through a stage and just plowing through enemies?
It changes the point, almost. At that point, you're supposed to just rack up as many kills as you can and get that one up,
mm-hmm.
which is why every time you get a Starman in a current Mario game, it's sort of just a platforming challenge. How long can you hop around and mm-hmm. can you get to every enemy to get the one up? Usually there's just the right amount,
mm-hmm.
which I think is 5, right?
Yeah. For me, I like the challenge. And so every time I get the Starman, I'm like, great. So now I'm invincible, so nothing can kill me. But what I really loved about this game as a kid, and it's still the thing that I don't know, for whatever reason, it's the most striking image of the video game for me. It's not the characters, it's the pipes. There's just something about pipes. I love the idea of having a world designed around underground pipes,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that it's mostly a maze. And to me, that's like the coolest thing. And you know, of course, you get the castles and you get the oceans and the mushrooms and the clouds, but the pipes, to me, that's the thing that made the game so freaking cool.
It's the pipes that gave the game so much depth,
mm-hmm.
at a time where you would never think of a video game being so deep. I mean, I'm like, back then in the time, the video games were so rudimentary, but here you have Mario with the pipes introducing you different worlds every time you go into it. I thought it's amazing.
Okay,
that theme of plumbers and so well, like plumbers, mushrooms. Yeah. Little animals that you might find in them, like turtles. Mm-hmm. It just works so well. I don't know if they ever intended it to make that much sense, but it weirdly does.
When I was a kid, I used to play two players by myself, and I would automatically kill Mario just so I could play with Luigi. I'm not joking.
Dirty man, you.
I swear to God. I would kill Mario.
You would kill Mario just to play as Luigi.
Just to play as Luigi, yeah.
Terrible.
And the thing about this game that I think to this day does not get enough respect or credit is the soundtrack. It has one hell of a sinister soundtrack. The soundtrack for this game is amazing.
And it's
probably like the most recognizable video game soundtrack of all time still. Yeah. I think it gets a lot of credit. I don't think anyone could ever discredit it. It'd almost be like saying John Williams and Star Wars is overrated.
No, but
everyone would just be like, you're wrong.
What I mean by that is I think the theme song is praise, and everybody knows the theme song, but I'm talking about the soundtrack overall for the whole entire game.
You have like the underground theme,
yeah.
Water theme. There's mm-hmm. so much.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
every theme, you like hear it and you're like, oh yeah, it takes you right back to that level.
Yeah.
Which is really speaks to the power of the soundtrack, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just love the soundtrack, and I like the fact that there's so many like hidden secrets. I like the fact that it had warp zones. Like, when's the last time you played this game and actually didn't use a warp zone?
You have to.
I always use them, so.
Because that's the thing. When is the last time you haven't used a warp zone? Like, I'm trying to think, because even like playing it this week, I just couldn't help it. I just used a warp zone. It's like, okay, I'm on World 4 all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like the idea of having hidden beanstalks. It kind of, I don't know. There's just something cool about being in a world that has so many mazes and hidden doors and hidden beanstalks, and you can climb to the clouds, and it's all about like secrets, and it's just giant maze, and I love it. I love the question mark blocks. Mm-hmm. This game is amazing. You know, the funny thing is that when this game was completed, they wanted the sequel right away. So we're gonna start talking about the second game very shortly now, but he had already started working on The Legend of Zelda. And the thing about making these Mario games is it took so long that he didn't have time to make a sequel because he was too busy working on The Legend of Zelda, and that's why they released the Super Mario game that we know as Super Mario 2 here in North America. The real Super Mario 2 game, mm-hmm. we know it has the hidden levels, right?
Yeah.
And they say they decided not to release it here in North America because they thought it was too difficult for Americans to play.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he didn't have time to redesign a completely brand new game, so that is why we got the game that we know has Super Mario 2. Just think about him at the time working on the original Legend of Zelda and the original two Super Mario games, three of the greatest games ever made at the very same time. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just
amazing. Probably had no idea. Like, he probably didn't wake up and was like, okay, this year I'm gonna wake up, I'm gonna go to work, I'm gonna change gaming history, and then I'll start something else and change gaming history again.
I know.
And the world will never be the same. He probably didn't think that at the time.
No, I don't think
not
so.
Not at all. I mean, even in this game, Toad is not called Toad. And Peach is not called Peach. She's called Princess Toadstool. Like, they only really started introducing the mythology and the lore later on with the sequels because they had no idea it would be such a huge hit. So, look, I just think that this is a masterpiece. I think we can all agree. I think it's one of the greatest games ever. I you know, reflecting back on our top 10 Nintendo games of all time when we discussed it on, I think it was like the second episode of our podcast, mm-hmm. I'm like, why didn't we put this on a top 10? Like, could someone please explain that?
Because we're not at the end of our discussion and we haven't talked about three yet.
That is true. But just the soundtrack, the gorgeous sprite work, the subroutes, the hidden secrets, the level design, this is by far one of the greatest platformers ever made, most likely the most influential game ever. Like, it's inspired so many game designers moving forward. And 30 years later, I still think it's fun to play and it has endless charm. So I think it's just great and beautiful and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now on to Super Mario Bros. 2.
Do we really have to talk about Super Mario Bros. 2?
All right. Ricky, what even is Super Mario Bros. 2? Tell us the story of Super Mario Bros. 2.
Okay, so like I said, the original Super Mario 2, the Japanese version, became known as the Lost Levels here in North America, and they did not want to release it because they thought it was too hard for Americans to play, which makes no sense. But anyways, so what happened was Nintendo decided that they needed to make a new game, and they needed to make a new game really fast.
Yeah.
So this, everyone knows this story. So basically, they found this game called Dream Factory Heart Pounding Panic.
Mm-hmm.
And they just decided that this game had characters that they could easily change to Mario and Luigi, and maybe even like Peach. Back then, it was Princess Toadstool. And they would just have to come up with like a fourth character, right? Because in this game, you basically play as a family of four. It's a platforming game. And you have the mom, the dad, and the two kids. And so they just needed to come up with an idea for the fourth character. So what they decided to do is they decided to just change the characters to Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Toad. They decided to add Toad into this game. So that's all they did. They changed the sprite and they made it like Mario characters. And that's why Luigi is taller than Mario, because before he wasn't really taller than Mario. They just made him taller than Mario because in the original game, the mom was taller than the dad. Mm. So technically it is a Super Mario game, but it's not really.
No. But the cool thing about Super Mario Bros. 2, though, is that it was the game that pretty much finalized the designs of the characters.
Yeah.
I mean, like, obviously, like, the sprites looked a lot more better than they did back in Super Mario Bros. 1, so that was cool. But it just did not feel like a Super Mario Bros. Game, so I don't know. It was just strange.
I think it really it influenced the future of the franchise in a lot of interesting ways. Mm-hmm. And you can see where a lot of what we get now, mm-hmm. like, I'm thinking, like, what we just got on Wii U with Super Mario 3D World, it's like, it's got that same... those same elements, and Luigi's taller now and thinner, and like these are the things that have stuck around with us.
Well, plus you can play as different characters,
and you can be any of them.
Yeah,
and you kind of get that now in different games.
You see, Tim, this is why I like you so much, because you know what you're talking about, because you're right, because sometimes you have to make a mistake in order to progress and make things in the future better. And Nintendo, when they make mistakes, they learn from their mistakes, but they somehow come back even stronger. And so this might just well be the weakest game in the series. I think a lot of people dislike it, but you're right. I think by adding four characters and by making this mistake, but yet incorporating some of the aspects of this game, some of the characters of this game, some of the abilities and so on and so forth in future games, it's like they still like learned from their mistakes and something positive still came out of it. You know, there are characters in this game that are introduced in the franchise later on. There, of course, you know, instead of getting Bowser, you get Wart, right? He's not exactly the coolest villain. Mm. And when you're choking on a giant frog, at the end of the game, it turns out to be just a dream. Yeah. You know, you get Birdo, which is like the strangest villain ever. They're not Bowser types. They're not as cool and menacing as Bowser, but you also have characters that do come back in the series later on. And I do like the fact that you can play with Luigi and you don't have to be second player, or you can play with Peach. Never played with Peach though, or you can play with Toad. But yeah, it's a completely different game. I'm not going to argue with you. You're right. It's not for everyone. I don't think it's bad though. I honestly think that it's a pretty good game for the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's a good game. I wouldn't change it. Mm-hmm. I actually am pretty satisfied. It's not the sequel we wanted, but it was still something new, and it was unnecessary step for Nintendo to take, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right? And like, I like the fact that each and every single one of the characters has their own unique abilities, you know? Yeah. So, for example, a lot of people like to take Peach because she was easy to control in the air, and she can jump farther than anyone else. Mm-hmm. Luigi, he's hard to control. His legs are always moving, like, up and down and crazy. He's really, really hard to control, as opposed to Mario. I just preferred Luigi. I thought Luigi could jump higher than everyone else. So, yeah, they all had
I think he does. Doesn't he jump farther?
Luigi's the high jumper. Peach can go...
She can float. Hover.
She can float. Right. And so I just like the fact that I can jump higher with Luigi.
What did Toad do? I feel like he was like probably the most useless, though.
He just kind of chilled.
Chilled?
Was he faster? Now he's faster, isn't he?
I can't remember.
He had something like
that. Luigi was the fastest. No, Toad was just Toad. He's easier to just control, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a lot of, like, the Shy Guys, for example, and the Bob-ombs, they first appeared in this game, and they continue to appear in tons of Mario games moving forward. I mean, they're even in the sports games and the Mario Kart games. Mm-hmm. So they're not exactly the greatest characters in the series, but, you know, they're not so bad. There were some cool, interesting things that they did. Like, for example, you're in a level, and you pick up a vase. Yeah. And you smash the vase, and there's, like, this magical door. And you go through the magical door, and if you know exactly where to smash the vase, the magical door can lead to a different level. It's like a warp zone, and or you can get, like, a one-up. Remember the key? The key? Oh, my God. So you would go into, like, one of those vases, and you would grab a key, and you would run out, and this, like, head would, like, follow you around, like, this floating head. And then you would need the key to open up the door in order to advance in the level. Like, little weird things like that. The stuff that they never repeated in the franchise, but was still very cool for that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it worked.
I think
worked
so.
For the game.
Well, plus also, like, I felt like this game, like, encouraged you more to pick up. Well, because in this game, you were able to, like, I remember, like, picking up radishes off the ground. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah, still does that. Yeah.
You can pick up just about anything in this game.
Yeah, I mean, like, it introduced, like, a new sort of mechanic, I guess. Like, the whole, like, grabbing things and throw it at your enemies.
But it's the first time they introduced that mechanic, where you can actually pick up things and throw it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was unique, but again, like, it's just... I'm only thinking, like, at the time when I was a kid. Like, for me, it wasn't what I wanted in a Nintendo game, but, like, the way you discuss about how... moving forward, it did kind of change the the series. I mean, I do agree with that, but it's just like, again, speaking as a kid, like, this was not what I expected it to be.
Well, because before we move on to the next game, which is what I think we all want to talk about, mm-hmm. when I was a kid playing this game, I was amazed at how many secrets it had. Because the first game, you can warp through levels, but mm-hmm. there wasn't much. Like, this game has a lot of hidden secrets. Like, I was playing it again this week, and I discovered things that I didn't discover when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. That's the thing I like about these Mario games. You can play it 30 years later, and you discover a new secret. I'm not joking. Mm-hmm. Like, they just discovered new secrets to the original game 30 years later. Yeah. But I find this game has a lot more hidden secrets than the first game. So even though the first game plays better, the game plays better, it's a lot faster, the pacing, and it's more fun. This game forced Nintendo to expand the universe and expand the characters, and that's why we get Super Mario 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was a full return and the sequel that we anticipated originally.
Yeah,
it is A Link to the Past, comparatively. It's the exact same story between Mario and Zelda. Weird sequel that we didn't expect, that some people stand by. Resulting in this amazing game, this huge return, but still in the time of the NES, so it was huge.
This game is incredible, guys. I played this game when I was a kid. I finished it when I was a kid. I forgot how amazing this game is. If you haven't played Super Mario 3 in a while, in years, go back and play it. You'll be blown away. You want to talk about standing the test of time?
Mm-hmm.
This game is better than 95% of games released today. There are 8 worlds, 70 plus levels, so many hidden secrets,
and the mini games too.
The mini games, like the abilities, mm-hmm. like
the Tanuki suit. The Tanuki suit.
The mm-hmm. Tanuki suit. Yeah. The Tanuki suit has to be one of the most popular power ups in the series, hands down, and it's a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. I love the Tanuki suit.
It's a huge icon for all of video game dumb. Like, a leaf starts floating, and you're like, well, I've tried a mushroom. What does this leaf do?
Mm-hmm.
And you turn into a tanuki? Like, what?
But what is this?
And then you can fly.
Yeah.
It's the best thing in the whole world.
But the biggest and most unique feature in the game is the ability to turn Mario into a statue. And by turning into a statue, it protects you from enemies that are trying to attack you. I was, like, blown away when I did that for the very first time. I was like, did I just turn into stone? Like, are you kidding me? This game is amazing.
Yeah.
I remember when I was playing this game, when I was a kid, all I kept saying is this game is amazing. I'm playing it now as an adult, and all I keep saying is this game is amazing while playing the game.
But only that, but the level designs, too, like, just amped up tremendously when compared to, like, the first two iterations.
Yeah, you were talking about depth with the first game. This game has, like, insane depth. It's got verticality that I don't even think you see in current Mario games a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's incredible. It really is way ahead of its time. The level design is insane. It's genius. There are levels that, even to this day, it still takes me a few tries to even figure out how to complete the level, but I still haven't found every single secret or hidden door in all of these levels, because there's just so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about being underwater or floating on some, like, airship. There's one level where all of the characters, like, change into, like, triple their size. And if you go into a door, they all of a sudden get back to a normal size. And you mm-hmm. go into a second door, and they're back to giant form.
Mm-hmm.
Like, little things like that I just find so incredibly interesting and so charming, but yet it makes the game so difficult, too, to finish. The Tanuki suit is fantastic. What do you call the shoe again? Kuribu shoe?
I don't know. I don't remember.
It looks like a giant sock. It's like the green sock, the green shoe.
Doesn't it just protect you from
it's spikes? Yes, okay, so slip. You can basically walk on spikes, but there are levels where almost the whole entire floor is made of spikes, and you have to jump on like these small platforms in order to get across the level. If you get the shoe, you can easily get through that level. The problem is they only offer the shoe one time in the game, as far as I know. I've only found it in one level, so it's hard to get. You know, there's the clouds, the mysterious item, which allows you to skip a level. There's the magic whistle. Oh my god.
Yeah, the pan flute.
Yeah, the flute is amazing.
Just like The Legend of Zelda, right? Yeah. You get the flute, the music box. What else do you get? The frog suit. Oh my god, frog suit.
Yeah, true.
Oh my god, I love the frog suit. Yeah, the frog suit's my favorite.
Yeah, I think that was the amazing thing. It's just the amount of power-ups in Super Mario 3 was just ridiculous.
And each power-up, if you're smart enough, you know where to use it. Like, you're going to use the frog suit in an underwater level.
Yeah.
You're not going to use it when you're up in the sky. Because when you have that frog suit on, you're like Sean Connery in Thunderball. You're, like, swimming like no tomorrow. You're like an Olympic swimmer. Like, Mario is just, like, the bomb swimming with the frog suit on. No one can touch me when I have the frog suit on. Love the frog suits. So much goodness in this game. Jesus Christ, love it. The super leaf, which allows you to float and fly.
No, I mean, like, it's there's just not enough. There's just so many good things that you could just say about Super Mario 3. It's hard.
I have so many crazy fond memories of playing this game. This was the Mario game that I always played. I remember going over to my neighbor's house with my brothers, and we only ever wanted to play this game. Like, we could have played anything else. We'd play Duck Hunt occasionally, but it was mostly just go straight to Super Mario 3 and just starting up right on that first level and watching Mario go. And it was just so much bigger and grander than the first game.
Yeah.
And it was always just so magical. Like, I think the first time you see Mario really take off with the Tanuki suit and you hear that little tinkling sound.
Yeah.
There's just, like, nothing quite as exciting as not knowing that that was going to happen. Seeing a guy in a raccoon suit and then just take off and start flying. As a kid, I was just blown away. It was almost just like a Peter Pan adventure. This guy's just flying off into a magical world. And I always wanted to play this game.
Me too. You know, I couldn't afford to buy this game, so I used to rent it because it was, of course, a lot cheaper to rent the game. And I rented the game so often at one point I just decided to bring it back late, like 30 days. I just wanted to complete the game. So all I did was play Super Mario 3 over the summertime. Loved it. The musical compositions in this game are brilliant, just like the very first game. It's produced by Koji Kondo. He's like one of the all-time greats. The music in this game is fantastic. The level design is fantastic. New enemies, you get boom booms, you get boos. The boos, oh my god, I was like, stop staring at me, boo. Like, why are you following me, boo?
Yeah.
So much pressure.
Chain chomps. Just like, the boos were great. And in terms of like new additions, I mean, just the power-ups themselves was like mind-blowing. The Hammer Brother suit, like you can actually throw hammers. That's my second favorite suit in the game. The mini fortress. You get tons of mini fortresses throughout the whole entire game. The spade panel, remember that?
What was the matching game there?
I can never get it right. Never.
No.
I'm talking about like the sort of like slot machine. Is that what you call the spade panel? There was two. There was the one where you have to match the cards.
There was a spade panel and the one where you had to match the cards. The spade panel, I didn't have that much difficulty though back then.
Oh, I still to this day can't get it.
Really?
The matching cards I'm really good at because I have such a good memory when it comes to stuff like that. The spade panel I can never get. You know when you reach the end of a level and it has like the spinner and so. If you get like say 3 stars, you get five lives. I would always get 3 stars. There's like a simple trick I learned it right away, very easily. You just zoom in, like don't stop running, and hit the bottom corner of the box, and you will always get the star. So I would always get five lives for every time I finished the level.
Really? For me, it was just like just zoom in as fast as possible and run right into the box, and then like hope to get the star.
Oh, but if you hit the bottom corner, you will always get a star. At least that's my experience.
Interesting.
So, and so at the end of this game, as I was saying earlier on, is when he saves Peach, like Peach does not seem to care about Mario. Like, she's kind of cocky. She's like, she actually says at the end of the game, I remember the first time I saw this, at the end of the game, she's like, thank you for helping me, but I'm not the princess. The princess is somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Mm-hmm. And I remember I was like, the game's not over? Mm-hmm. And then she's like, just kidding. I remember the first time I saw that, I was like going to throw the controller at the TV. I'm like, I can't take an additional level. I'm going to die of like high blood pressure. Because that the last level in this game is, I find so freaking hard to finish. And just the way you kill Bowser, you don't actually kill Bowser. You let Bowser defeat himself. I thought that was so cool. Yeah.
It's like the epitome of what Nintendo's come to be. Mm-hmm. It's this like quirky sense of humor, but wrapped around this really, really deep challenge and enigma that you have to solve. And I think that's still the strength of the company. They have such a fun, family-friendly, but still old-school style that is challenging to this day. Maybe mm-hmm. not on this level, but it's so engaging and fun, and you can't help but say, no, I'm going to beat it, and I'm going to sit here until I beat this guy.
The hype behind this game back in the day, like I talked about this several times on the podcast, like remember the commercial? Okay, there was that famous commercial where it would focus on a bunch of like teenagers and they're calling Mario's name and it would zoom out into the sky and they would all be shaped like Mario's face. They would continue zooming out if you see the globe. Mm-hmm. You know, like that commercial was like, it's like one of the greatest commercials ever made. Like I'm a big fan of commercials. Like I think there's an art to selling a product well and mm-hmm. and making these fantastic very artistic like commercials. I think that commercial is one of the greatest commercials ever made. And of course we had the game featured in the movie The Wizard, which we talked about on one of our previous podcasts when we reviewed The Wizard. So just like the idea of showcasing this game for the very first time in this Hollywood blockbuster film, it was only released like 2 or 3 months after the movie was released. That's mm-hmm. like a big deal. Like, can you think of any game that can pull that sort of marketing off nowadays? The game became the second best-selling game of all time. Of course, the first game was the first Super Mario game because it was bundled with the system. Mm-hmm. But this game wasn't bundled with the system. And it went on to sell like 25 million copies or some craziness. It shows why Miyamoto is like a genius. Mm-hmm. It's critically acclaimed for a reason. It's sold super well for a reason. This game leaps and bounds beyond anything you could have ever imagined back in the day. Like back in the day,
that is true.
I can't think of anything even close to being as good as this game.
Mm-hmm. And it's no surprise that every Mario 2D platforming Mario game you get is still this same exact pattern. It looks a lot like this game for a reason. It's because it's just the most tried and true pattern for a Mario game. If you think about it, like the out of world menu, or what else does it add? Switching between players was a ton of fun, especially in this game, I felt. It had a solid 8 worlds, and it really seemed to solidify that concept with this game. And every Mario is like this now.
Mm-hmm.
Or the movable enemies on the map, on the outer world map. Everything, it still follows this pattern for a reason. It's phenomenal.
The only complaint I have of this game, it's not really a huge complaint, it's when you finish a level, at least from my memory on the NES, you couldn't go back into the level. So let's say you complete the level but you want to go back in and sort of like poke around and see if you can find any additional hidden secrets. You can't. Once it's completed, it's completed. I think in the Game Boy version you could, but not in the NES version. Or I could be mixing things up. I forget which one. Because the Game Boy version, I remember I played the Game Boy version, and first of all, it's because it was just they added additional levels and additional content, which is mind-blowing. And remember they released it for the Super NES also?
Mm-hmm.
So I played like 4 different versions of this game. I played it recently on the Wii U. I played on the Super NES. I had it on the Super NES because at that time I was able to afford it. I rented it on the NES and on the Game Boy. And the Game Boy and Super NES, they added additional levels, but I don't think in the original game, like the original cartridge for the NES, you could go back into the world. Once it was completed, it was completed and you had to move on.
I can't remember. I thought you could, though.
It's like that in the Wii U Virtual Console version. You can't go into, if you complete, like, say, level 5-2, you can't go back in. You just have to kind of move on. Yeah. So that's kind of like the the little complaint that I have, because I guess it's more of a complaint for the Wii U Virtual Console release, because I would have liked to have seen them release the Super NES version, because again, they revamped the music. It has richer 16-bit graphics. It has additional content. I thought they could have like released the Super NES version. That would have been amazing. But well, still,
that was part of like what, Super Mario All-Stars?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, this game's amazing. It's there's a reason why it became the second best-selling video game of all time, and there's a reason why it's considered by many people the greatest platformer of all time, the greatest Mario game of all time. I think, okay, you know what? I think, I'm sorry guys, this game is way better than Mario 64.
I'm fine with that statement.
We're going to review Mario 64 in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to go back and replay the whole thing. But just going back and sort of playing a few levels of the 64 game and then playing this game from start to finish, I think this game is so much better than the 64 game.
Is it good enough that we should add it to our on-site Hall of Fame?
I think we should add it to our Hall of Fame. I agree. Aaron, do you vote yes?
Oh, yeah. Of course I agree.
And I think we should also add the original Donkey Kong into the Hall of Fame.
Well, hey, look at that. The Hall of Fame is already 2/3 Mario. What do you know?
Yeah.
No surprise.
Happy anniversary, Mario. We are going to have a lot more to say about your long history. Thank you for the fond memories. Thank you for 3 great games, 2 that are particularly astounding, and 1 of my most nostalgic games ever, Super Mario 3. So, we are going to take a brief little break, get right into our post-game content, a review of Don't Starve Giant Edition.
Super Mario is back. He's blasting through worlds where no one has ever been. He's taking on enemies no one else dares. This time, Mario plucks up power wherever he goes, so he's bigger and badder than ever before. You've never seen creatures like these. You've never had an adventure like this. It's everything you've dreamed of and worlds more. It's Super Mario 2, only from Nintendo. Now you're playing with power.